A prominent investor famously said that software will eat the world. But software is going to drive our cars first. This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton gets under the hood on automotive technology.
Hello, and thanks for listening. Let's think about the services portion of goods and services. So specifically tech services, such as SaaS, software as a service, or PaaS, platforms as a service. And coming soon, in a bigger way than it presently exists, is TaaS, transportation as a service. TaaS encompasses connected cars, semi-autonomous and autonomous cars, and even driverless delivery trucks. And when I mention it's coming in a bigger way, I mean in a geopolitical kind of way. Specifically, if and when the world economies rely less and less on oil. An independent think tank called RethinkX has a new report detailing just that scenario. Rethink co-founder and Stanford University economist and professor Tony Seba says the rise of self-driving cars will push down oil demand to $25 a barrel. Of course, that means political and economic turmoil for oil-producing nations. Think present-day Venezuela, only worse. Of course, we have the infrastructure for oil production and consumption in place, pipelines and gas-powered engines. So what about infrastructure for the next generation of cars? Here's Dr. Seba from RethinkX.
So there's a difference between self-driving cars and connected cars. You can have a self-driving car without it being connected. They are going to be connected, but that is not a necessary requirement for self-driving cars. So essentially, whether it's 4G or 5G or whatnot, you already have millions of miles being driven in almost self-driving mode, level 2.5 or 3. And what we're going to need is level 4 or 5 to go there. But the idea that they need to be connected is not necessary. You don't need to invest in infrastructure, in massive infrastructure, to make self-driving cars happen. But it's not major. In fact, what is going to happen is that 80%, maybe more, of parking spaces are going to be vacant, because we are going to have 80% fewer cars on the road.
Well, that parking spot vacancy rate might almost be as significant as a shifting world economy. Now, I wanted to tee up the next conversation I had with Rob Enderle. He's a veteran Silicon Valley analyst, tech industry thought leader, and a self-professed automotive enthusiast. So basically, software and hardware are in his wheelhouse. So the next generation of car technology is our topic this week.
Rob Enderle, principal analyst for the Enderle Group.
Rob, it's great to have you back again. I kind of want to start at a pretty high level, and let's talk about TaaS, right? We've heard of SaaS. We've heard of PaaS. Now we're talking about transportation as a service. As an analyst in the field, what do you see TaaS really being?
Well, basically, at some future point, you'll have a monthly fee, and that monthly fee will cover your transportation to and from, mostly with automobiles or automobile-like vehicles, personal transportation. We've kind of had TaaS with regard to, you know, having cards that get us onto subways and trains and buses for a while from the government, but this would be a TaaS that really deals with personal transportation and using services like Uber or Lyft as the provider. And the real opener for it will be when we go to autonomous cars and then get labor out of the loop so they can just cover this much like you would an elevator in terms of operating cost. And once they bring those costs in line, then you're having a monthly fee for your personal transportation needs becomes much more viable.
You know, your analogy there to an elevator, that sounds almost like mundane. We don't even think about getting on elevators anymore. These are no longer these magic boxes from 120 years ago. It's just kind of like stepping on something and then stepping off. Is that really the societal normalcy that's coming?
That's where Uber wants to take us. So we've got some conflicting ideas about where we're going to end up. But if we're going to talk about TaaS, then that's the TaaS service. That's the one where you don't drive. You get in a box. That box drops you off where you want to go. It's just much like an elevator. Remember, elevators had people at one time that operated them, and then they automated that part, and they get rid of the people. And, you know, they had drivers in the monorails at Disneyland at one time. Now, not so much. It's all pretty much automated. It's the nature of just getting the people out of it and making the system automated. And once you have all of the vehicles in a particular ecosystem automated, then you can do things like cut down the distance between them, put more vehicles on the road. You virtually eliminate accidents. The thousands upon thousands of people that die every year worldwide in accidents drops massively. And, you know, insurance with a TAS, you don't pay that. That's paid by the service. And you don't have to worry about parking. Your garage can be turned into another room for the house, because what do you need a garage for if you don't have a car? From then on, you just, you know, you go to work when you go to work, and you come home when you come home, and something takes you in between. And you don't worry about traffic. You don't worry about using your phone while you're driving. You can watch movies. You can read. It's a very different kind of experience.
There's a lot to unpack here. Before we get into the tech behind it and maybe some of the social ramifications, does TAS also apply to automated delivery or shipping?
No, it certainly could. In fact, the strange thing is when we're talking about automated delivery and shipping, we're talking about using drones. So actually flying the stuff to your house. And of course, starting hopefully this year, if they get approval, Airbus is going to start testing human drones, basically flying vehicles that will do the same thing as an Uber car, but instead of taking you across roads, will fly you to your destination. And there have been tests ongoing in Nevada, and Dubai is supposed to have a system like this in production next year. So there's a lot going on here to think about. Once we step away from people having to operate these things, then flying as opposed to using roads becomes much more logical. And of course, Elon Musk is going the other way. He's talking about a system that would put tunnels underneath streets in big cities and operate like an automated subway, except with individual transportation vehicles. And your car would drop in, or your surface car would drop down, hit a sled, and then that sled would take you off at very high speed to wherever the next hub was. Then you'd pop back up again and head out. So even more like an elevator, because those tunnels would be almost identical to how elevators operate today, only much larger and much faster.
Yeah, the elevator analogy really is working across the board here, because I was thinking, like, okay, if you look at transportation as a service, that's something you're putting on existing infrastructure, such as roads. Now, with the boring company, the tunnel company from Elon, that's an elevator physically that takes you down into a tunnel. And then with drones, of course, you're talking about existing flight paths and whatnot. Well, maybe.
Well, no flight paths. We moved to drone delivery. We can't have flight paths, because the difficulty then would be the flight paths themselves would become too filled with drones. You need both altitude and XY to have the kind of real estate you need to fly across. But remember that during this time, the self-driving cars all communicate with each other. The drones would do the same, and they would negotiate who had the right-of-way across a certain vector. And you'd have computer hubs kind of keeping everybody honest. And that would be that layer of technology would keep these things from colliding, because we'd have issues, of course, with cars colliding on streets. You have a couple drones colliding in the air, you have to worry about where they're going to fall next. So it all has to be very safe.
Let's stick with the technology then. I read this week that blockchain is a technology that could change this. And of course, in the intro to this interview, I referenced Mark Andreessen saying that Nokia was just like car companies are today, right before Nokia was eaten up by Apple. What is blockchain? Let's start there with a teachable moment.
I don't know, a teachable moment.
It could be a teachable moment for them. This
ends up being what's called a teachable moment.
We came to know blockchain with Bitcoin. We focus on the currency with Bitcoin, but really the technology behind Bitcoin is the important part, and the technology behind Bitcoin is blockchain. And what blockchain does is it assures a transaction. It makes sure that the buyer is a legitimate buyer and the seller is a legitimate seller, and it uses a third-party certification to do that. So it's one of the reasons why banks are looking very heavily at blockchain right now, because of the security of the transaction. It's very hard, not impossible, but it's very hard to create a fraudulent transaction with blockchain, because you have this certification level, this third party, that a trusted third party that has to certify the buyer, and a trusted third party that has to certify the seller and make sure that they're valid.
I see.
So, and it's all done electronically. So it does slow the transaction down a bit. But we're talking, you know, milliseconds to microseconds. So it's not bad if we're talking about something like transportation or logistics. It could be a little ugly if we were talking about trading floor, because those transactions do happen in milliseconds.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, what it does mean is the data that's being supplied both from the automobiles and to the automobiles is valid, because what you don't want is a situation. Well, if you saw the latest Fast Furious movie where the woman took over all the cars and you had an army of rogue automobiles flowing across streets like water. That's the kind of thing you don't want, even though it's not really possible to
right.
do stuff. But you don't want that to occur. You don't want a hostile third party to be able to take over these vehicles. And you don't want bad data coming from the vehicles back to the control points, because both of those things would result in serious problems. So using blockchain to validate the data flow between the vehicles and each other, and between the vehicles and the central hubs, which will keep them patched, keep them updated, and the rest, is critical to assuring that these things remain elevators and don't somehow become a little terminators.
That was part one of two with Rob Enderle. He's a co-founder of the Enderle Group. Rob is a Silicon Valley analyst, tech industry thought leader, and self-professed automotive enthusiast. For more with Rob Enderle and all of our segments, check out kgoradio.com/techonomics for podcast links. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics.